Welcome to another lesson in A Course in Miracles. It's good to see you again within this memory package of the idea that we could have been separate from God. Okay? The idea that there's a systematic way at last for you in time to change your mind about who you thought you were within your own self-identity. The idea that you were actually a human being, you're not. The idea that you occupied a body in which you had to breathe oxygen and carbon and nitrogen and all the other molecular associations of identity that manifest your idea about who you are, they're not true. They never were true and they never will be. This is A Course in Miracles from my Savior and the Savior of this world, Jesus Christ, who is firmly implanted within your own mind, offering you the light of his mind if you will accept it. And it's based entirely on the rhetoric of the heritage of your testament of identity within your own culture in your search for a Savior. And I'm here within your own time frame, whatever you think you are in this short 40,000 years in which you manifest yourself, showing you the entirety of the inevitable capacity for you in an evolutionary process to undergo an experience that will eliminate the necessity for you to remain in that cocoon of nothingness. Because I assure you, until you begin to see the light that's all around you, you cannot see that you have been entrusted with the gifts of God, which represent eternal life. Now, somehow I managed to get to lesson 166, which is going to say that each one of you out there in the world is entrusted with the gifts of God, with perfect love and perfect wholeness. And that includes you. All right? This Course in Miracles is training your mind, perhaps successfully, to the realization, although you may be walking around in this world, and maybe you're watching this on a lunch break, maybe you're watching it at 2 in the morning, or together in a bunch of you who now are beginning to recognize your individual selves with the emergence of the entirety of your own recognition of yourself. You're walking around in the world, and all of a sudden you're turning and looking at what you thought was a complete stranger, and you're recognizing that you know him. Of course you know him. You know everyone in the world in a literal sense. It's impossible that any manifestation contained within this illusion of body form is not a part of your own mind. My, I took a big step there, didn't I? Dare I ask you a conceptual denial of eternal life to look within yourself and see what's available to you? It's going to cause a loss of everything that you loved, isn't it? Momentarily, you're going to lose that necessity to have prostate cancer. Oh, what a threat. Huh? I'm threatening you that you're not going to be able to get sick. You're not going to be able to get old. You're not going to be able to die. What a threat. Huh? Oh, that's ridiculous. Why would I want to listen to this guy? What's he going to tell me? He going to tell me that life is eternal? Is he going to tell me I'm not from here? Is he going to tell me that everything that I've ever looked at in this conceptual idea is not true? Is he going to remind me, as my Savior did, that my father has been a liar from the beginning, and that everything he has ever told me about God seeking vengeance is not true? Is he going to appear now as my Savior within my own mind, or as manifest within this world in our shared love, and inform me that we actually came from heaven together, and that we're returning together, and as long as we remain here and bind ourselves, we can never escape it? You see how excited you got me and my certainty that you're beginning to hear it? We're getting thousands of reports, millions now. And they're all individual recognitions in what was formerly a self-containment. Can you see that with me? Lesson 166 says you're carrying around in this dreary idea of your dream of death your own Christhood. But as long as you condemn yourself in your own condemnation, in your own denial, in your own attack on your enemy and your brother within your own mind, you can't know the entirety of the solution. So this is 166 in this Course in Miracles. We're going to go back and just review a few paragraphs from lesson 165. Which reminds you that at this time and place, you can manifest the entirety of who you are, because you are who you are, not who you thought you were. Who you thought you were, who the world tells you that you are, is not who you are. The occurrence of your Savior is at hand with you, telling you that this world is not true. That this was a momentary sojourn into pain and death, and that it's over and gone. Let's look back at 165 just a moment. Listen. What need you do? Ask with desire. You need not be sure that you request the only thing you want, but when you have received, you will be sure you have the treasure you have always sought. What would you then exchange for it? What would induce you now to let it fade away from your ecstatic vision? For this sight proves that you have exchanged your blindness for the seeing eyes of Christ. Your mind has come to lay aside denial and accept the thought of God as your inheritance. Now is all doubting past, the journey's end made certain, and salvation given you. Now is Christ's power in your mind to heal as you were healed. For now you are among the saviors of the world. Your destiny lies there and nowhere else. Would God consent to let his son remain forever starved by his denial of the nourishment that he needs to live? Abundance dwells in him, and deprivation cannot cut him off from God's sustaining love and from his home. Practice today in hope, for hope indeed is justified. Your doubts are meaningless, for God is certain, and the thought of him is never absent. Sureness must abide within you who are host to him. This course removes all doubts which you have interposed between him and your certainty of him. We count on God and not upon ourselves to give us certainty. And in his name, we practice as his word directs that we do. His sureness lies beyond our every doubt. His love remains beyond our every fear. And the thought of him is still beyond all dreams and in our minds according to his will. So, if you want it, you're going to have to ask for it. And it's impossible that you ask anyone who's out there in the world because they don't have your answer. The teachings of this mind, my mind to your mind, are very basic in the certainty that there's only one reality. When you ask other human beings for a solution to the problem of your self-identity, you are, in a literal sense, in a literal particular, in an illusionary reality, asking the one thing in all the universe that doesn't know what it is, who you are. You want to share this with me, spiritual seekers? You have been seeking for relief, okay, for the reason why you have been in this particular arrangement of your conceptual mind. You've asked all of the questions. Who am I? Say it. Why am I here? When did we get here? Where is this? Where are we going? So, did we cover them? Who? What? Where? Why? When? Let's add one H. How? All of these questions are contained within your own conceptual identity and confirm your need not to discover the answer. If everything is contained within your own mind, and I assure you that it is, you are choosing within your conceptual self the alternatives that you want within this continuum of time, within a reflection of an arrangement of what you would call sequential time, wherein the answer is not contained. Yet it's impossible that the answer is not somewhere. What I want you to share with me now, if you will, in my mind, in my representation of my certainty of you in this time and place, is that the answer is contained only within you. You've heard that conceptually since you had an idea about God. You've heard that conceptually since you asked for help from what you were told was your creator. You've looked together with me at the idea that there was a solution to your problem in asking for help. All you needed from me was the certainty that any problem or question that you could ask within your own mind could be answered very simply by the idea that you have only one problem, and that's yourself. That's your need to seek for help and not recognize it within the ideas you have about yourself in the multiple problems that you believe exist in your conceptual identity. You have one problem, and that's separation from everything that is. You have one solution. Undo it in your mind. Stop trying to discover in your own conceptual self a solution that is not there. There is nowhere in your continuing organization of the idea of separation where the solution lies. And that's the joy of this lesson, because this lesson, and we're going to read some of it now, is going to tell you that all the human beings are walking around in a literal sense with the kingdom of God within them. And they're manifesting themselves in the chaos of form that disappears in the dust. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? Tear that temple down and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And from that moment on, they were really after him, weren't they? They were very determined. As you may still be, that I would not be allowed to demonstrate to you my certainty that you're not brick and mortar. my certainty that all of the things that you are formulating within your own mind are just existences of definitions of a long time ago and a long time to come in the ruins of what no longer exists. Now, what you've had to learn from me is you can build out there from all of the ruins you want, and they will result in ruins until you recognize that the kingdom is within you. This is what Lesson 166 is going to say. Let's look at it together. All things are given you. God's trust in you is limitless. He knows his son. He gives without exception, holding nothing back that can contribute to your happiness. And yet, unless your will is one with his gifts are not received. But what would make you think there is another will than his? Here is the paradox that underlies the making of the world. This world is not the will of God, and so it is not real. Yet those who think it real must still believe there is another will, and one that leads to opposite effects from those that he wills. Impossible indeed, but every mind that looks upon the world and judges it as certain, as solid, as trustworthy, and true, believes in two creators, or in one, himself alone, but never what? Never in one God. The gifts of God are not acceptable to anyone who holds such strange beliefs. He must believe that to accept God's gifts, however evident they may become, however urgently he may be called to claim them as his own, is to be pressed to treachery against himself. He must deny their presence, contradict the truth, and suffer to preserve the world that he made. Are you listening to this, humans? Here is the only world he thinks he knows. Here is the only safety he believes that he can find. Without the world he made, is he an outcast, homeless and afraid? He does not realize that it is here he is afraid indeed, and homeless too. An outcast wandering so far from home, so long away, he does not realize he has forgotten where he came from, where he goes, and even who he really is. Yet in his lonely, senseless wanderings, God's gifts go with him, all unknown to him. He cannot lose them, but he will not look at what is given him. He wanders on, aware of the futility he sees about him everywhere, perceiving how his little lot but dwindles as he goes ahead to nowhere. Still he wanders on in misery and poverty, alone though God is with him, and a treasure his so great that everything the world contains is valueless before its magnitude. What a particular idea. Boy, it's great to read that. Are you aware perceptual identities out there, what this is offering you? This is the statement about you. And how you feel about the rhetoric, I'm not concerned. What it's actually a statement is a proviso for an entrance into your drama of loneliness and death of a true you. I want to share that together with me. This is why sometimes we revert to parables. There's no question that you believe you are a conceptual self-existence wandering about this world looking for an occupation that will justify your need to retain your own sorry-looking self. And the reason that you reject this message is simply because you may not like the definition of yourself that I'm giving you. I understand that in your lonely wandering, you keep finding relief, don't you? You find moments of happiness with the bodies that are around you, and you share with them the certainty of your own existence, of what you must define as happiness, since in your forlorn idea of the dream of death, you find happiness in pain. You find happiness in loneliness, and you believe that This is what your life is. Okay? You have forgotten that you have been misidentified in a moment, okay, of space-time that denied the entirety of reality, and you're wandering aimlessly about in your determination to hold on to that identity. Do you see how you're identifying yourself there, Mr. Body, Mrs. Anybody? Do you see how you hold on to yourself in your determination to be the containment of that body and find other bodies that share your forlorn admission that you're in this little senseless pain of dark form? Let's share together just a moment this alternative. Let's practice, if we can, just a moment of that realization right there, that you're actually whole and perfect. Good. Could you see that? I got you to stop just for a moment and step back so your mind has been so preoccupied with definitions of yourself, with needs to justify that existence, that the idea that you could begin to practice non-defensiveness, the idea that you could begin to experience alternatives that were not contained within the contingencies of your self-identity, is what is occurring. Can you see that? This is the description of this lesson. This says that you're carrying with you a burden of perfection. You see that? Your mind is preoccupied with the burden of dark form ideas within your conceptual definition of yourself. You can pair them in ratios of variant light factoring. Let's see if I can explain that to you. Some of your ideas about yourself have more power than others. Some of them you love, some of them you hate. But remember this, in this lesson, all of them are comparisons with what you're not. All of them justify the continuation of the duality that you think is necessary within your own mind to maintain the balance of death. Because by continuing to choose within your own containment a definition of the body, you can never see the alternative that's available to you right now. The time will come, and did, when you will depart this earth. This from the teachings of Jesus. The time will come, and did, he says, when you left here. I am reminding you, within your own memory package, that dark form that you're holding, that your burden is light. Say that to me. My burden is light. Yeah. See how light your burden becomes in your own mind when you release your necessity to define it within your own physical form? Can you see how joyous and happy that makes you? For what? No reason. It's a release of the defenses of your own conceptual self. It's the expression of a freedom that you are discovering within your own identity. And that's what this lesson says. This lesson says you've been carrying that freedom around with you, but you've been afraid to use it because it will be a momentary loss of the burden that you thought you had to have. Your education, your conceptual identity, your occupation, your need to define yourself in a body have all burdened you with your body identity that ensure the sickness and death that are inevitable in your conceptual self. None of them are true. There is no world. Remember the lesson where we, 132 said, I loosed the world from all I thought it was? That's what we're practicing now. So you can see the truth of you that's contained within that conceptual mind. Let's read just a little more from this lesson 166 about the certainty that Christ mind is with you. Listen. He seems a sorry figure, weary, worn, in threadbare clothing and with feet that bleed a little from the rocky road he walks. No one but has identified with him, for everyone who comes here has pursued the path that he follows and has felt defeat and hopelessness as he is feeling them. Yet is he really tragic when you see that he is following the way that he chose and need but realize who walks with him and open up his treasures to be free? We're back with you just a moment because we want you to see how evident it can be to you, if you want it to be, that this is the path that you have chosen. And it is a sorry path, all right? This is the need for you to continue with the identity that you hold about yourself. The notion that you could be separate from everything that is. This is our reminder to you at this time that what you are representing yourself to be in this time and in this place within your containment in this space-time episode are not true. Listen carefully to me for just a moment. All I'm really offering you, if you'll accept it from me, is that in my illumination of mind, I have come to realize that there is only one self. Okay? The associations of your mind are denying you the entirety of your creative source, because remember at the beginning of this lesson, we read you always either believe in yourself and God or in yourself, but never in the entirety of God, because your belief in the entirety of your creative source, in whatever manner it came about, would show you immediately that all of your own conceptual identities were totally meaningless. Yes, you out there, conceptual mind, denier of this teaching, okay, are simply denying a total dependence on your creative source. Yes, there is a simplicity in the declaration of this so-called theology. You remember this, theo, truth, is not the study thereof. It's the admission that truth is true and that nothing else is true. That allows you to recognize the power of your mind through the entirety of your dependence on your creative source. That's available to you as a light figure within your own mind. So we're going to have to leave you for just a moment. We'll be back because this is becoming exciting, isn't it? Are you watching this video? Have you ever seen Lessons in A Course in Miracles before? It's training your mind as you're out there in the world to have a continuing experience of alternatives without your need to define them. What does it do? It changes your space-time location. It relieves the burden of your necessity to be that sorry figure. Remember that God goes with you wherever you go, because God is the mind with which you think. So we can say together, God bless us, everyone. Welcome to a continuation of the teachings of this Course in Miracles. Systematic way in which you've decided to change your mind about who you thought you were, and you now get to watch this world change as you change your mind. And just for a moment, it's going to be a happy place for you to be, because you've made a decision that your sole purpose for being here was to leave. Once you begin to recognize that, you won't be so persistent as you were in your need to occupy that little conceptual self that you thought you were. This is lesson 166, and the excitement that's going on in the world today concerning this mind transformation is obviously very, let's use the word ecstatic, because if you're taking the passion of the necessity that you had to remain within your own occupation, as fearful as it was, and converting it to your determination that there's an alternative you can see that will show you the kingdom of heaven, that will allow you to escape from this little hovel of dark form. Imagine the joy that you're beginning to feel now in that, and let's call it an occupation. Let's call it a function. Let's call it a need in your new discovery of yourself that makes all your other alternatives of body identity seem a little pathetic and a little ridiculous. And you discover to your amazement that it's a choice that you can actually make. Imagine that. You can actually choose. It will contain the admission that you have actually chosen to be here and occupy the body. It will contain the admission that the decision to change your mind is yours to make. Let's listen together then to some more of this lesson 166 that says you are entrusted with the gifts of God. Here's your description, isn't it? He seems a sorry figure, weary, worn, in threadbare clothing, and with feet that bleed a little from the rocky road he walks. And no one but has identified with him, for everyone who comes here has pursued the path that he follows and has felt defeat and hopelessness as he is feeling them. Yet is he really tragic when you see that he is following the way that he chose? And need but realize who walks with him and open up his treasures to be free? Listen, this is your chosen self, the one you make as a replacement for reality. This is the self that you savagely defend against all reason, every evidence, and all the witnesses with proof to show that this is not you. You heed them not. You go on your appointed way, with eyes cast down, lest you might catch a glimpse of truth and be what? Released from self-deception and set free. You cower fearfully, lest you should feel Christ's touch upon your shoulder and perceive his gentle hand directing you to look upon your gifts. How could you then proclaim your poverty and exile? He would make you laugh at this perception of yourself. Where is self-pity then? And what becomes of all the tragedy that you sought to make for him whom God intended only joy? Listen, your ancient fear has come upon you now, and justice has caught up with you at last. Christ's hand has touched your shoulder, and you feel that you are not alone. Perhaps you even think the miserable self you thought was you may not be your identity. Perhaps God's word is truer than your own. Perhaps his gifts to you are real. Perhaps he has not wholly been outwitted by your plan to keep his son in deep oblivion and go the way you chose without your own true self. There's a lot of excitement in the idea that you're going to finally begin to admit that everything you lack is your need to lack. You're finally going to have to admit that your definitions of yourself to cower before the might of God are nothing but your determination to remain separate from the single reality of the universe. What a great description of everyone who has departed this world. Most of you have had some experiences either in death or in moments of revelation where you realize how very little this world is. Let's look at it together, okay? What this lesson is saying to you, and in the moments of your revelation, you look down and you say, why the hell would I ever think that that world would be real? where within my new reality can be contained the certainty of the eternal joy and happiness that I actually am. Now, the dilemma that you have as you begin to practice this lesson is obviously you begin to see how the individual conceptual identities are retaining their own certainty of limited self-identity, or the idea that they have to persist in the definition that the world has taught them. And it's not true, but the necessity was what? That you discover it in your own mind. Now you listen carefully to me, because this is your project. In that discovery will be an action of the conversion of conceptual mind identity that is inevitable within the aggregation of your projections. This is why you've been given the title of Savior of the World. First, because you are the Savior of the world. First, because you brought this world with you when you came, and in your decision to convert from your little meaningless self to the certainty that you are as God created you, will be the action of the healing and love that is expressed to all of this world. Now you've assumed that responsibility, and you've taken it on based on this video. You've taken it on based on the idea that you actually wanted a solution to who you were, and knew that you couldn't find it within your own conceptual self. The certainty of the sole purpose why you should be here has now come upon you. This will be the time and place where you will escape from the dream of death that was identifying you. And we're going to remember in joyous realization that we were only here for a moment, and all the ideas that we had to remain here and suffer will be passed away. This world will be over and gone, because this world is over and gone. And I'm showing you now that within your own mind. Let's listen again to this lesson 166 from This Course in Miracles that is showing you who you really are. Listen. God's will does not oppose. It merely is. It is not God you have imprisoned in your plan to lose yourself. He does not know about a plan so alien to his will. There was a need he did not understand, to which he gave an answer, that's all. And you who have this answer given you have need no more of anything but this. Listen, now do we live, for now we cannot die. The wish for death is answered, and the sight that looked upon it now has been replaced by vision, which perceives that you are not what you pretended to be. One walks with you who gently answers all your fears with this one merciful reply. Are you listening? It is not so. Once more, it is not so. He points to all the gifts you have each time the thought of poverty oppresses you, and speaks of his companionship when you perceive yourself as lonely and afraid. Yet he reminds you still of one thing more you have forgotten, for his touch on you has made you like himself. The gifts you have are not for you alone. What he has come to offer you, you now must learn to give. This is the lesson that his giving holds, for he has saved you from the solitude that you sought to make in which to hide from God. Are you listening to this? He has reminded you of all the gifts that God has given you. He speaks as well of what becomes your will when you accept these gifts and recognize that they are your own. Listen. The gifts are yours, entrusted to your care to give to all who chose the lonely road that you have escaped. They do not understand, they but pursue their wishes. It is you who teach them now, for you have learned of Christ. There is another way for them to walk. teach them by showing them the happiness that comes to those who feel the touch of Christ and recognize God's gifts. Let sorrow not tempt you to be unfaithful to your trust. I'm glad you're back with me because this is a crucial point in this teaching. I'm offering you within your own conceptual mind the certainty that there is only you. The self that you are identifying, whether it's perfect as you were created or in ideas about your need to defend that body, are the only self there is. All of the miscreations that are a part of your mind are actually still out around you. As you begin to discover this alternative, it would be an imperative for you to offer the new discovery of the light of your mind to your old projections. You stay with me with this for a moment. You are an historic reference of the betrayal of the love of God. I don't know where you hear that, and I don't care. I want you to see that all of the conglomerations of self-identities, in a literal sense, are depending on your conversion to discover who they are, since they are projections of your own mind. Is that too difficult for you? So be it. I'm looking right at you now and showing you what a small space you actually occupy within your own mind, how dark these figures are that are around you that you need to use to verify the reality of what you think you are, which has nothing to do with what you really are at all. You will assume the obligation of teaching this because you're going to discover that you must teach it in order to know that it's true. Okay? The process of giving away in order to know that you are is the fundamental concept of this teaching. Okay? It's impossible for you to know who you are as long as you are possessed by occupational ideas about your self-identity. You give them away, they are recognized by other objective conceptual associations in the act of giving without the necessity for exchange. In that moment is the recognition of the power of your mind. These are the instructions of the Savior of this world, Jesus, who says very simply, give it all away and come on home. Those that you give to will be those that you previously denied. Okay? Now, that's the responsibility that you have. Let's complete this lesson together. Listen. So it's going to turn out to be only you. Listen. Your size will now betray the hopes of those who look to you for their release. Your tears are theirs. If you are sick, you but withhold their healing. What you fear but teaches them their fears are justified. Your hand becomes the giver of Christ's touch. Your change of mind becomes the proof that who accepts God's gifts can never suffer anything. You are entrusted with the world's release from pain. Betray it not. Become the living proof of what Christ's touch can offer everyone. God has entrusted all his gifts to you. Be witness in your happiness to how transformed the mind becomes which chooses to accept his gifts and feel the touch of Christ. Such is your mission now. For God entrusts the giving of his gifts to all who have received them. He has shared his joy with you, and now you go to share it with the world. Are you back with me now? Are you able, within that little conceptual form, to accept just a little bit of what this lesson is offering you? And I'm here with you now in this time and place expressing your own certainty. The problem that you've had with a singular conceptual reality, what we call subjective reality, begins with the simple acceptance that there's nothing outside of you. Now, you may have felt that somewhere within the empathy of sharing pain with a guy that's out there. Certainly your mission to up till this point has been to try to serve your neighbor, perhaps to go out into the world and take a need to help in the sustenance of this place, because, well, you recognize the pain of those that were around you. This is the next step that you will take. Somewhere in the process of giving, listen, somewhere in the process of serving, somewhere in your self-identity of the need to aid, to offer the new peace that you found in your mind, to help those who are still suffering, to offer to them through the abundance that you feel in your own mind, the new certainty that they can share that peace with you. There was a point within your own mind where in the moment of giving, it occurred to you the entirety of the expression of the joy of your self-identity. I'll speak to you here. I'm speaking most particularly to you, because certainly you have attempted in this world to express to those around you your need to find the peace and love and happiness for which you were seeking. And certainly included in that idea was the admission that in the sharing of that love, in the sharing of what appeared to be your conceptual self, you found moments of joy and of happiness. Imagine what's occurring to you now as you begin to assume more and more within your own mind the inevitable responsibility that you are the cause of this world. How exciting that's going to be to you, because it does not require that you be justified out in the world by what you thought were the procedures of the exchange involved in the idea of giving and receiving. Why? Giving and receiving are simultaneous. The teachings of the Savior of this world, my Savior, Jesus, has offered me the certainty that in the moment of giving, I also receive. Now, we want to call that to your attention because that's the lesson we just had. The lesson that we just showed you, the lesson that I am offering you, is my certainty that if anyone suffers, it's you. I know that most of you may have turned me off by now. I've gone too far this time. I'm expressing to you my certainty. First, what? You are the cause of your own suffering. Second, if anyone out there appears to be suffering, he can only be you. He is a product and a parcel of your own mind. This is the fundamental teachings of forgiveness. Forgive your need to hold on and be possessed within your own mind, so that the sharing of the certainty of who you are can be brought to this world. And that'll give you a lot of happiness. Now, the concept that you are holding of yourself in that identity are very simply what is keeping you from seeing your own perfection. Let's read just two paragraphs from chapter 31 of the Course that talks about your self-concept. Listen. The concept of the self has always been the great preoccupation of this world, and everyone believes that he must find the answer to the riddle of himself. Salvation can be seen as nothing more than the escape from concepts. Let's say it again. Salvation can be seen as nothing more than the escape from concepts. It does not concern itself with content of the mind, but with the simple statement that it thinks. And what can think has choice, and can be shown that different thoughts have different consequences. So it can learn that everything it thinks reflects the deep confusion that it feels about how it was made and what it is. And vaguely does the concept of the self appear to answer what it does not know. Listen, seek not yourself in symbols. There can be no concept that can stand for what you really are. What matters it which concept you accept while you perceive a self that interacts with evil and reacts to wicked things? Your concept of yourself will still remain quite meaningless, and you will not perceive that you can interact but with yourself. To see a guilty world is but the sign your learning has been guided by the world, and you behold it as you see yourself. The concept of the self embraces all you look upon, and nothing is outside of this perception. If you can be hurt by anything, you see a picture of your secret wishes, nothing more than this. And in your suffering of any kind, you see your own concealed desire to kill. You will make many concepts of the self as learning goes along. That's okay. Each one will show the changes in your own relationships as your perception of yourself is changed. There will be some confusion every time there's a shift, but be you thankful that the learning of the world is loosening its grasp upon your mind. And be you sure and happy in the confidence that it will go at last and leave your mind at peace. The role of the accuser will appear in many places and in many forms, and each will seem to be accusing you, yet have no fear that it will not be undone. We came back with you now because that's going to be the end of this hour and the idea that you are entrusted with the gifts of God. Isn't that exciting what you just read? The temptation, okay, to hold on to yourself is why you're here. And sadly, every time you've attempted to present your true self in a discovery that you've made in forgiving your brother, you have been attacked by this world. Did you see what we just read to you? You see that? The world is a containment of self-identities that need to retain their separate selves in order to identify themselves. And they're not true. And you've discovered it in your own mind. So here you are carrying the message of Jesus, the message of forgiveness, the message of love, the message of you're not guilty of anything. The message that you be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The message that the only way to escape the world is to forgive your enemy. None of it can be accepted by this world. We're going to help you with that. Because when you discover it in your own mind, you cannot not be attacked by this world. Fortunately, okay, the world is not real. For a moment, you'll find yourself in a space and time that you don't belong. But as we are showing you now, you're carrying that light with you. And when you decide you want to leave this continuum, you'll discover, to your happy surprise, that others have left it along with you. And now you're going to share the joy, the love that we're expressing right now. Thank you for joining those of us who have found a solution within a new space and time. Okay, now perhaps you're going to go back out into slow time for a moment. Don't be concerned about it. The message you just received will always be with you, and it's going to begin to expand in your mind. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go. Remember that you are the mind that God thinks with in your definition of yourself. What a particular thing to say. There is only you, and in that love is all the universe. God bless us, everyone.